The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Coming to you live here from Train ND Northwest, Keith Olson is with us, the Small Business Development Center Director for the Northwest Region, or I guess what would be the correct title, sir?
Regional Director for the we kind of follow the planning districts, so I've got Williams and McKenzie County, and then we have somebody that helps us part-time up in Crosby to cover Divide County.
Okay, and how many different small business development centers are there across the state of North Dakota?
I think we have nine. We have one in Fargo with two staff members, Grand Forks, Devil's Lake, Minot, Dickinson, Bowman, and myself.
Okay.
And Bismarck.
Of course, recession talk is all over the national media. It's starting to trickle out in the local media. Out here in Williston and Watford City, the small business is kind of booming, isn't it?
Well, we've had a really good year as far as loan volume. We've so far year to date, I think we've had about $60 million in small business loans. You know, it's a bit misleading in that some of the construction projects take a while, so some of these projects might have been started last year, those kinds of things. But, we're starting to see things slow down. We're starting to see, the increased cost of labor, the increased rent, increased cost of doing business. You know, I think a lot of the people that would come and see us are people that would like to start businesses. A lot of those people have gotten, some raises where they're working. The interest rates are starting to have an impact on people wanting to take the plunge, and just the fact that, like, specifically in Williston, we're sort of running out of good, retail or rental space for somebody to start a business that would rely on any kind of traffic for sales. And then, restaurants are, I think, all over kind of struggling with reduced hours with the labor force. You see a lot of them that are closed a day or two a week that weren't before, those kinds of things.
How about in the oil and gas industry? I've seen either some rigs moving around or coming in or leaving or something like that. I've seen activity happening. What is going on the boots on the ground out here as far as the oil and gas activity?
Most of the customers I have that I work with on the oil and gas front are staying very busy. Again, it's a constraint of labor. I think everybody I know or I've worked with has got openings for multiple positions. It goes in circles or cycles. At times we have a lot of people that are trying to buy their own trucks and go do their own thing, whether it's hauling water, crude, or frac sand. Early in the year, we had a lot of people come through doing that, and now the last couple, 3 months, that's really tapered off. And I think part of that, too, is because there's, obviously a shortage of labor, but I think finding good used trucks is even a bit of a challenge. You're having to go quite a ways to even get the kind of truck you'd want to use out here.
Labor shortage is an issue, it sounds like, all over the place. Are you seeing it from any specific area, whether it be trucking, or is it finding someone to work at a seafood restaurant in Williston or something like that? Because I noticed there are a lot of restaurants that are just not open. Oh, it was Monday yesterday, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing reduced hours on weekends. We're seeing, it's one of those great questions we ask all the time is, like, where are all the people that are typically taking these jobs?
How is rent and mortgage getting paid?
Yeah, I don't know what's happened. I know even at the last job fair, they considered it a good number of job seekers. I think north of 250 or whatever, and, I think they were happy with that, but that even is a considerable drop from, what it used to be not that long ago with people looking. It's one of those things we talk about all the time, and I don't think anybody has a real good answer on why we're so short of labor, other than I think we saw a lot of early retirements during COVID, and it doesn't seem like the high school workforce is as engaged as it used to be with a lot of these part-time jobs.
Before COVID? You mean?
Yeah. I would say in the last 5 to 7 to 10 years, but certainly pre-COVID.
Yeah. Are businesses at that kind of that sweet spot? We were, with the crude life, this has been a problem for a long time. We're too big for the small guy and too small for the big guy. I could see that in a oil community, because you have to be big, but sometimes if there's not a lot of activity, well, how can you do that? Is there like a sweet spot in order to have a small business be,
I think
working?
It just totally depends on what industry you're in. You know, if you're if you're a restaurant or retail, dependent upon hired help, it's pretty tough. Truck driving, it's really hard to find guys that, you know, can be insured or have gone through and gotten the certifications necessary. You know, it might not be the easiest thing to retrain into because of the cost of getting through the school and all those kinds of things. And it varies by industry, but I know a lot of the oil and gas companies, subcontractors I work with, are really constrained to grow based on employees.
You guys give out loans, you said?
We don't. My job is if somebody comes in and wants to start a business, it's my job to help them get the business plan put together, create the financials, kind of be an expert on whatever the local financing programs are. Like in Williston's case, I take the applications for the STAR Fund, which is the city sales tax fund, and then make it easier for the lender so that in one trip into the bank, they can be completely prepared with what the bank is going to require in order to take it to loan committee or evaluate the loan.
Sure. How does somebody do that? Then they just they set up an appointment. Do they walk in? Do they set, you know, is everything done online or?
Nope. It's all 100% phone call. Make an appointment. We're a free service across the state. There's no cost for any of our services. We're supported with some of our funding comes through SBA. Our program is headquartered out of UND, and then we have to match those federal dollars with state and local funds and. Basically, our stuff's on the web or word of mouth. They get our phone number, they call, they make an appointment, and we do what we can to help them.
Out of the number of people that come in, do you know off the top of your head, just roughly speaking, out of 10, how many of them complete a business plan, and how many of them say, you know what, maybe there is no market for what I need?
You know, I wouldn't say tracking it necessarily that way. We probably, you know, last year we had a record number of clients for a one-person office. We get a little bit of help, but we had just short of 400 clients, where when I started this back in 2003, 100 was our goal.
Did you say 400? Is that in 1 year?
Yep, and we're year-to-date over 310 right now, I think.
What calendar are you using?
That's
365 days? Okay, you're not using a Babylonian calendar or anything like that? Okay.
It's strictly
Well, the
calendar.
Amish, right, and Kingpin taught me. They do everything time and a half, so they do 15 lanes in bowling. How many is it, 15? I messed up that Kingpin joke, but people know what I'm talking about who've seen Kingpin, so... that's a lot, 400 in a year. Do you know what types of businesses these are? Are these at-home businesses? Or
we get a few that are at home that come in to make sure they're doing everything correctly with business registrations and all those kinds of things. If it's retail, making sure they've got their sales tax numbers and all that. You know, we work on everything from in-home daycare to a larger daycare to oil and gas to retail to restaurant. I mean, it varies a ton.
That's amazing. 400 in 1 year for one person.
Yeah, it's as much as, I mean, it's probably more than we should have.
That's like Chop Shop numbers, you know what I mean? Like, that's unbelievable.
We got some help last year from some of the CARES Act money. We were able to get some subcontract help from Tri-County, which is just down the hall from me. But yeah, we've seen that number creep up between, and you know what's hard for people to fathom is that those numbers are just from Williston or Williams and McKenzie County, Williston and Watford. So if you think about, you know, that footprint, that's an awful lot of people.
How does that compare to Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck?
We're very similar to Fargo in terms of clients.
Does Fargo get 400 clients in a year?
They were just short of 400 last year as well.
Yeah.
So about on par with Fargo. You know, the benefit we have, because I've been doing this a while, we get great referrals from previous customers. We get, you know, we get all the banks out here that we work with. And they don't turn over loan officers like you might see in a lot of the bigger towns. So we've got a very consistent base of referrals that you know, keep that pipeline full all the time.
And I don't even know if you can legally answer this or not, but are these young people coming in to get businesses? Are they old people? Is there a demographic that sticks out in something like that?
No, we get them from kids that are in high school, even they're investigating, you know, something they're doing on the side.
Influencer.
Yeah, even registering their 4-H business or something that they're working on, or just getting some help with a business plan for a school project, all the way up to somebody that has a part-time retirement gig making something, and they want to make sure it's legal so they can go do craft shows and mm-hmm. trade shows and that kind of thing. This year, I would say it's been kind of an anomaly too, because I've been doing this for a while in this seat. I've had clients that haven't been in since 2005 that have come back in and are either expanding, adding to what they're doing, you know, buying some new equipment or something like that. We probably had 20 to 25 clients this year that hadn't been in since, you know, in the last 10 years anyway.
When I graduated from NDSU, North Dakota State University, I started up a business. It was a magazine. And all but 3 years of my adult life, I've been self-employed, okay? And so when I think about how much the world has changed over the past, you know, 20, 30 years, as a small business owner who's been primarily a small business owner, I could see where a service like yours would really help, because now they're taxing a Facebook if you make over $600 in buy-sell type of thing. So therefore, you're a small business. When you start getting 1099 by people and you've got cash flow, I'd almost want a refresher course. So I could see some of the older seasonal veterans of business coming in to maybe just get some help on new regulations and new systems. Has the small business over the last 15 years, you've been doing this since 2003?
Yep.
Has it changed much?
Oh, yeah. We have access to much better information than we used to. We have subscriptions to like BizMiner and Vertical IQ. So
I don't even know what does that mean?
They're databases. So like if you were going to come in and do a Mexican restaurant, I could get the average cost of goods for other Mexican restaurants in North Dakota, in any other city, state. The Vertical IQ is like what used to be similar to IBIS World or what used to be done in Bradstreet's. It's like a 30-page report on the industry, and it's usually very current, updated every month to get current trends. It was really good during COVID because we would always get COVID updates every month, and we can, you know, tailor that to whatever industry that the business is looking at. So when they come in, it just really allows us to test their assumptions and make sure they're realistic. And I think it helps fine-tune. I think it helps reduce, you know, business failures, just because when we run numbers, we can base it off real-world stuff. And if the numbers are just like, you're not going to, I mean, that would be, you know, that many clients a day buying that much every time they come in. It's not feasible. It's not realistic. So it does help us bring some realism to a lot of the projects.
I was going to ask about the analytics. How far does it go? How deep does it go? You know, what's overstepping your bounds? What's not overstepping your bounds? You know, I think of, you know, the coffee shop example is one that I don't think I would have ever gave a loan on, just because how many cups of coffee at $3 a piece do you need to sell a day in order to make that $3,000 rent payment? You know, that's a lot of coffee. It's not saying it's not good coffee, but that's just a high volume. Or, hey, will this market support an Indian food restaurant? Or, geez, there's already 5 Mexican restaurants. Do we need a 6th? Those are just 3 analytical examples off the top of my head. Do you guys go to those different areas?
Oh, yeah, we'll look at that. You know, who's your competition? You know, how are you going to compete? How are you going to get into the market? All of those things, you know. And these databases, well, they've had databases around for a long time. You know, what we're getting now is in the last probably 3 years that they've really taken this huge leap, you know, as we're able to get more and more data all the time. It seems like the quality of the information we're getting is better too.
Now, I can imagine where this is going to help on the front end a lot of people. Do people become reliant on your help throughout the course of their business ventures, say like year 1 or 2? Are they calling you every week and asking you for new help or that sort of thing? Because let's be honest, you know, a lot of businesses, they don't make it the first year. And it becomes stressful and people get desperate and they start making phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, that type of thing.
I would say we get more follow-up phone calls in that first couple of years of business. I mean,
you
they
do.
Can certainly
okay.
call anytime. You know, we're there for them. If we get a call past year 2 or 3, it's usually because they're looking to expand or they want to run some numbers or make sure they can afford to take out the loan they want to take and how it impacts their cash flow. But yeah, the first couple of years, we do get a lot of follow-up. Once they get into business.
And so you're part therapist too.
We can be.
Yeah.
I mean,
we, you.
the best. Well, all of us across the state, yeah. we do our best. But yeah, I mean, we get into all kinds of stories that you get a real sense for the good, the bad, and the ugly, what's going on out there.
Yeah, I can see that. What advice do you have for people right now that are thinking about it? You mentioned early that the vibe is changing a little bit and there's just a little bit of uncertainty. So at the same time, they just printed $7 trillion over the last 3-4 years. So there's a lot of money out there for people to go start new directions and new businesses and new. I look at this workforce shortage as people are looking for different types of work too.
Yeah, I think the ability to work from home in some markets is a big deal. Some type of hybrid work, I think I see a lot of places doing. I would say, from my experience, I don't know that I've ever seen the entrepreneurial fire, burn hotter than it is now. But I think we're kind of at that point where you probably have to do a lot more due diligence on a lot of these business starts, just because of all the things, lack of help. Higher interest rates are going to have an impact on cash flow. And then just in general, I would say we've seen maybe a little bit of a tightening of the belt on the spending in a lot of households as everything creeps up in cost, I don't know that there's as much expendable income as there was maybe a year ago.
That's truth there. Well, how can people get in touch with you? What's the process? I imagine there's a website or something involved.
Yeah, ndsbdc.org is our statewide website, and they can drill down to Williston, or if they contact either the Economic Development Office in Williston or Watford, they'll get referred over to me. Email, phone, cell, text, however they want to contact us. Used to be all phone calls, and now we maybe get one phone call out of 20 communications. It's text and it's email.
You'd made fun of you do phone calls today's day and age.
It doesn't happen.
Voicemails, too. I found out, don't leave voicemails. You get made fun of for that, too.
Yeah, well, if you get time to check them.
That's right. Keith Olson, Small Business Development Center. It would be the Williston Williams?
Yep. Or Williston office.
Williston office. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate you coming by today. And anything, final thoughts, final words that you want to leave with?
Nope. Just, both communities that I work in do a great job to support local business startup when we can, and we'll just give us a call and we'll run whatever scenarios you want and see if it's a doable deal.
All right, thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the time.
Interested in becoming a sponsor? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.